Welcome back, everyone, to WCCF Talks Gaming, Episode 2. I'm your host, Keith, here, and we have Alessio.
Hi, everyone.
We have Chris.
Hello.
And Dave.
I have a sheep. Respect.
All right, guys, today we've got several good topics. We're going to kick a lot of things off with the epic, well, epic. Just epic. There's a whole lot to talk about with Epic this week. Yeah. And speaking of Epic, Mega Textures. Is Mega Textures a thing again? And Ghost of Tsushima. There's some Nora stuff there going on, and we got some updates on that. And we may have time for more. If we do, we'll get to those topics. Otherwise, let's kick things off with Alessio and Epic's hat trick.
Yeah. Epic really, really kind of... own this week in terms of game news. And of course, the biggest news by far is the Unreal Engine 4 F5 tech demo, which was running on PlayStation 5. And that caused even recently a lot of debate, on whether the game, the demo can run on PC and Xbox Series X, especially. And then, of course, there were also two additional announcements which are going to make developers very, very happy, I think, because Epic decided to waive the first million in gross revenue for any project that's made with the Unreal Engine. And, of course, that's not much for, the big publishers and developers, but for an indie developer, I think it's a pretty big deal. And lastly, but not least, there is the fact that they have finally, released the free SDK for the cross-platform services, Epic Online Services, which are basically a whole set of tools like friend list and store account, and they are all cross-platform. These are the same tools that they have developed for Fortnite to make it entirely cross-platform between PC consoles and mobile devices. And now they are available to everyone for free. So again, it's a really big set of news, I think, for game developers. And of course, for gamers, there is especially that absolutely stunning, I think, tech demo, which finally got everyone screaming next gen, right?
Yeah, and it was something on the PlayStation 5, which we talked about last week, has been kind of missing.
Absolutely. And it's about damn time, although that doesn't mean what we saw was actually a video game, but it looked good.
Well, I just wish it was a video game because they had a Stargate in it.
I was going to say, otherwise you could play Tomb Raider.
Yeah, they did say it was kind of inspired by Tomb Raider, and but yeah, of course it's not a game; it's a tech demo. But I think the big news here is that unlike previous Unreal Engine 4, for example, the Infiltrator tech demo. Not sure if you remember that, but it was running on a high-end PC. And this one, on the other end, is running on a console. So that's, I think, a step forward in terms of how achievable these graphics will be, a broader level.
They did on the UE4, they did a tech demo, and I can never remember the name of the one that it was, but it was like the awakening of this ancient king deal, like the ice and fire, but it was running on the PS4. And I got to looking at it because at first I was like, ha, this is just a tech demo. But I watched that one back and I got to looking for the little details. And there were quite a few games on the PS4 that ended up looking about as good as that tech demo. And this one wasn't just on rails. So it wasn't just a video feed where they set it up. They were actually manipulating it while they were going through the demo. So I know some people were giving it a lot of grief because of, what was it, 1440p, 30 FPS.
Yeah, but I mean, aside from the frame rates, but could you really tell that it was 1440p?
No.
1440p? It was upscaled to 4K via you know, the Unreal Engine's temporal upsampling, which is pretty good. I mean, it's not maybe DLSS 2.0 level, but it's still a really good upscaling technique. And, you know, I think, you know, there were two big new features showcased in the tech demo, the nanite and the Lumen technology. Mm-hmm. So the nanite technology is perhaps the most impressive one, because basically Epic is claiming that they can basically load into the engine even movie level of quality and size assets into the Unreal Engine, and then it's scaled, you know, in real time across every platform. And most importantly, you don't have to, you know, as a developer, you don't have to do different level of details models. You don't have to, you know, manage the poly count budget, the draw call budget. It's basically scaled automatically by the engine. So developers, they don't have to do, you know, deal with a lot of issues that they have right now. They just upload the assets and it's done. So basically it's like miniaturized geometry, which looks incredibly good. I mean, it's they've said, I think in the statues scene, they had over 16 billion triangles just in that scene. And, you know, over the course of the demo, there were hundreds of billions of triangles in just a couple minutes, a few minutes anyway. Right. So it was really absolutely impressive, I think. And especially the great thing is that they said they can keep this degree of fidelity going for kilometers even. And that's another, you know, key characteristics of the engine, which is possibly going to make open world games even more varied visually and more interesting.
Very nice. Now, that was their Epic's strong point in showing that off. Chris has got some details about a different kind of hat trick that they've performed over the past week that has a bit ups and downs. What you got for us, Chris, on that one?
Well, one of them was a bit of an own goal, but the Epic Games Store, and also, as Alessio has already mentioned, with the Epic waiving the first 1 million in fees for anybody using Unreal Engine, and that's from yesterday. It's a massive boon to indie developers using Unreal. It's a boon for anybody. And the fact is that Epic are massively pushing forward gaming by doing that. And yeah, not only that, of course, it helps bring people to the Epic Games Store, which has now got its the Epic Mega Sale on again, which I've already bought three games on. And if Epic are willing to pay £10 of their money towards me getting more games, yeah, I can finally play Control now.
Oh, good. Of course, you know, you're going to play it very rasterized, but it'll still be the same game. You'll enjoy it. I'm sorry. That was one of my games of 2019. Like, my favorite game of the year was Control. I absolutely loved it. Even not just because it had all the shinies and the new features in it and stuff, but I just really liked the gameplay. Sorry, I don't get too excited about games that often.
No.
But that was one last year that.
Well,
really
that's why I've gone and bought it, simply because everybody seems to have. Is rave reviews everywhere. Everybody's talking about how good it is. So
even mine.
I even mentioned yours when I posted about the sale. I linked your review in there.
Yeah, nice. Sorry to Bargie and Chris, but since you know, Kit mentioned Control, it was like there is a bit of a news that popped up this week. And that is that the next, you know, the second and final, I think, Control expansion will basically tie into Alan Wake, what happened with that game. So I'm just dropping this bomb.
I'm suddenly intrigued. Now I definitely need to play Control because I enjoyed Alan Wake.
If you liked Alan Wake, you'll love Control.
See, this is one of the reasons, just moving back into the Epic. I can see you, Dave. So this is why
I know
so this is one of the reasons why one of the things I really liked about the Unreal Engine 5 tech demo, not so much the nanite but Lumen, and also I can't even remember what they called it, the way they're using sound, the way it'll mm-hmm. reverberate. Games like Alan Wake, horror games in general, Unreal Engine 5 is looking like it could be a step forward, actually really adding to the atmosphere of a game with the way light reflects, with the way audio is played. And I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And since we're talking about Unreal Engine 5, before we move too far away from the subject, I want to say just a couple of things. And first of all, it looks gorgeous, obviously. Yeah. It looks gorgeous. I think the potential for what devs can do with just the amount of detail on screen and being able to practically automatically optimize it for machines.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And I was really worried that this was going to fixate on higher performance machines, but then Epic came out and said that Fortnite is going to be adapted to work with it, which means iPhones and the Nintendo Switch will inevitably also have to run Unreal Engine 5. So
yeah.
All my complaints from there are gone. Also, on the subject of like the indie stuff with like the $1 million the cap, you don't have to
yeah,
pay.
So, the yeah, so what they're doing the is the million. First. Yeah, if you use Unreal Engine for yeah. the first million you earn, you don't owe Epic anything,
which is amazing for indies. And the cross-platform SDK, that is all absolutely wonderful. And then I have a single concern.
I have a few.
So we all know that that Epic have said that they've been working very closely with Sony on the development of the PlayStation 5. And if you ask me, this completely explains Sony's decision to use like a proprietary SSD tech, because what problems Unreal Engine 4 have on PlayStation right now, the textures load in like slow as hell. And then games like Final Fantasy VII Remake, who use Unreal Engine 4, you're walking through the environments and you have to like go under a stoop down to get under something.
Yeah,
you have to slide
just to
up against the wall
just to
slow everything, the gameplay down, to load the next area. So I think that when you think of it like that, oh my God, that makes so much sense. But also, I don't want to move into this future where Unreal Engine is like the dominant tech in the industry. Because we're already seeing a lot of game developers and publishers move away from their own engines. Like, obviously, we've seen Square Enix basically dump their Lumina Studios engine on Final Fantasy 15 in favor of Unreal Engine 4, Final Fantasy 7, and Kingdom Hearts 3. And then you see like Respawn inside of EA obviously really don't want to have to use Frostbite engine, which is why they've been using Source and more recently Unreal Engine on their games. And with these indie deals, with all the great things that Unreal are doing, and furthermore, the like literal talking to the hardware manufacturer level optimization you see for the PS5 from judging from the demo, it really seems like Unreal Engine is going to become the dominant force in the industry. But I also don't want to have a single engine monopolize things like that, you know?
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever have the issue of it being purely dominant thanks to
Unity
and such as that.
We're also not going to see Frostbite engine develop for PS5 from the ground up from the beginning.
No.
Obviously,
no.
That's happened with Unreal. No other engine, except for maybe some Sony's proprietary ones they use with their studios, is going to have that opportunity. And that already, in my eyes, if I were a developer, makes Unreal far more attractive than anyone else for an engine choice.
And the scalability.
I would argue that Unreal's always been the most attractive simply because from everybody's heard about it, it is the most easiest to develop. So you've mentioned mm-hmm. Frostbite. It's essentially useless for role-playing games, third-person games. Driving such as that. Source, yeah, that's good. Unity, again, is so versatile. It's just Unreal's got that amount of support as well.
It really seems like one of the only third-party engines you can easily license out that is already built for like the most high-end of systems. Unity and
come on, Crytek
engines don't really have that.
I think exactly. Alessia wants to say something.
Don't
anyway.
Be like a Crytek. Jeez, we all forgot about them.
Yeah, you know, the CryEngine is powerful, but it's also not that easy to work with, as far as I've heard, anyway. And, you know, the Unreal Engine, I think it became, already the most popular, at least in AAA and AA games, since the days of the Unreal Engine 3, with Gears of War. And the Unreal Engine 5, I think, improved on that, but at the same time, I don't think the Unreal Engine 5 will move too much ahead in this regard, like eating minor engines. It will still be, you know, the most popular engines for those who seek, you know, very advanced graphics. That's basically the biggest boon of the Unreal Engine, in that it is easy to make graphics look good. Because if you see Unity Engine games, there are a lot of them. many games made for mobile devices are made with the Unity, but it's just not as good looking generally. You know, of course, it depends.
Yeah, it depends how much work they put into it.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
go on, Keith.
I was going to say they can make it look really good, but if they can't keep their store alive to get it out to people.
Yeah, that was shocking to me. And also, it seems like while Epic Games Store is down, like small-time developers don't actually seem to have access to Unreal Engine at all. So like, did people just have to like not work like the other day when it dropped because of GTA 5?
I don't know if the engine itself went down.
I actually downloaded the engine because you can do that now. Unless you can log into Epic Games services, you can't actually.
I never actually tried to load into the engine.
So it when GTA 5, so right, Chris, they gave away GTA 5.
Yeah, Rockstar started put that up GTA 5, so that's another. And with the starter pack for online, so that's a whole host of new shark cards to sell.
All right. Get them hooked. Tap the vein. But the Epic Games launcher it went down. So, Dave, you're saying
never just the launch of the site, just everything Epic.
Everything went, they put up GTA 5, and it seems to happen the sales. Yeah, it seems to happen every, and I know Steam does it too. Like, so when Steam has the summer sale, the first day, it's shoddy. You may or may not even be able to log in. But here's the difference, and I don't want to sound like I'm beating the Steam drum, because I'm not. I have my own issues with Steam that run very deep. I mean, I even opposed it when it came out for Half-Life 2. I went and found a copy of the game that let me play without having to have Steam. That's how opposed to it I was. I couldn't even get into my library.
No, neither could I yesterday.
Yeah, I wanted to play, and some people, I know it's not the greatest game, but Close to the Sun. Yeah. I'm almost done with it.
No, I'm enjoying that, and I really like it. It's a good game.
I'm enjoying it, but I was not concerned about GTA 5 because I've had the game since it came out, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So those people who haven't had it are going to get a chance to play it. Have fun. And I go to play my game. It won't let me launch it. I can't get to my library, and I'm like, this is
so basically, this is dumb. It is online only, you're saying. So if you are connected, you can play the games. If not,
It's more that the client itself won't launch into your library. So if the Epic servers are down or struggling for whatever reason, you can't load into your library. And if, like Dave was just saying, I didn't try it myself, but I should have tried it. But you can't even load into Unreal Engine, which is quite bad for Epic. Really need to segregate these things.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Epic the benefit of the doubt now and say that like if you have like a business account and you're an actual proper game developer, you probably have offline access to Unreal Engine tools. I'm gonna assume they're gonna do that, because if not, that'd be absurd.
Yeah,
I could see it. Crazy.
Now I wanna. Well, go ahead. You go. Go.
I was just gonna say, I think it does show that last year this time when the first sale was launching, this was just a few months after the Epic Games Store really started getting all the heat, and the fact that it crashed the Epic servers. And you've got to remember, these are the servers that also run games like Fortnite, with 250 million people playing the bloody thing. That's showing a lot of people are picking up the Epic Games Store, even if they're saying, "Oh, I don't do it. No, I refuse to. I obey Steam only."
So, I want to back up to something Dave talked about earlier with the Unreal Engine. So, since we're still beating the Epic, the Epic Gong, the texture loading thing. You mentioned that, and that was an issue, where you would move rapidly from one scene to the next, or even loading the game in general, you would load the game and the assets, and then the textures were slowly streaming in. And I'm sure some of our audience, which we've talked about it, and some of our audience probably remembers when not Epic, but id Tech. So earlier versions of id Tech running Rage. It actually, I believe it came out earlier than that on another game, but it was their mega texture idea. So rather than having tiled textures and everything, you would have this massive texture that you could wrap around a whole mountain. You could have each mountain look very unique. You could just wrap it, and what it would do is stream in as you had like your cone as you would change. Yeah. Like as you changed and it got to the edge, it would start to load it in. But if you swung the camera rapidly and you were like in a fight, you could turn around and like the person you're shooting at would just be polygons. They wouldn't have the texture. The texture would slowly load in. And
Rage.
Oh, Lord. Everybody that played Rage remembers that because everybody was trying to find a way to get around it. But one of the problems with it that in Dave brought it up, and I think that these things going together with the new consoles and their NVMe drives, and I know that PC gamers, we like to go, I've had NVMe drives for years, but the games were not developed. Oh, Lord. But games were not developed for streaming from higher than mechanical disk. Like they were just there was the assumption that you're running a 5400 RPM mechanical drive. So they haven't really gotten around to trying it again. And Alessio posted a really good article about how we could see the resurgence of the mega textures technique. Maybe not mega textures themselves. And I'm actually working on a video for the channel here or the YouTube channel that'll be up later to show the difference between running these things on an old mechanical drive with hardware from when they first launched it to hardware today and how the difference is incredible. You don't get that hitching. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that issue, like Dave was talking about, Unreal Engine 5 probably is going to be optimized for these higher speed storage devices. The Medium, we talked about this in the last podcast, that game is going to require a newer, the Xbox One Series X. It's not going to run on the older one. Do you think it could be that it's all that's on Unreal? Do we know what engine that's running?
No idea.
The Medium.
Ah, okay. I'm not sure, honestly. Okay. I'm not.
Well, we can pretend. We can not pretend.
Blue team.
We can just make an assumption that if it's running something like the Unreal Engine 5, then that engine may be optimized for the faster drive. So it's going to load those. It's going to stream those textures way, way faster.
That's something that actually Tim Sweeney said very clearly. He said that Epic has been working closely with PS5, with Sony on the PS5 for a long time. Especially for their decision to go hard on the SSD technology, but it's not just the drive, because they actually have a customized interface, input-output interface, mm-hmm. they have a new controller.
Yeah.
So basically they are trying to eliminate any sort of overhead. They have decompression blocks, and mm-hmm. that's also true for the Xbox Series X, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's so what I meant. The things that go across platforms, not the just specific ones, but
yeah. Like I said, it's the fact you mentioned about the mega textures. It's something that the VP of Vice President of Technology at Splash Damage recently said in an interview, and it's interesting because, of course, the main disadvantage of mega textures, or at least virtual texturing in a way, is precisely that you lost fidelity. And that's why actually ID Software
if you again take a look at the article, they just a few months ago before the release of Doom Eternal, they said they dropped mega textures in order to increase the texture fidelity, compared to their previous games, because it was something that those games had suffered from because of mega textures, relying on old mechanical drives, and that meant compression, that meant blurry textures. But
so
good times,
with the new technologies of the next generation consoles, and eventually PC will also catch up as well, and even surpass them, of course. I think this really could be something that makes a comeback.
So you mentioned about compression. That's one of the issues with mega textures. Just the simple fact that Rage was double the average game size when it came out. So consoles, despite having the new hardware, they're still going to have space limitations. So we're going to have that issue. That's always going to be an issue whenever they're worrying about the cost of space.
Yep. That'll be a good one to get in.
The medium's on Unreal Engine 4.
Oh, is it? Really? Oh, it's good to know. Sad day. But on to another topic. Dave, you're on deck. Tell us about the Ghost of Tsushima. Tenchu or this one?
Well, unfortunately...
Tenchu Muyo?
We have to give up on Tenchu until From Software decide to do something. Stop licking me. I'm talking here. And Tenchu Muyo is obviously a wonderful story about the heavens and the earth coming together. Also a harem of some sort. Yeah. But other than that, we have the Ghost of Tsushima, or apparently Tsushima. Like, you're not supposed to do the E, but I may mispronounce that a few times. Let's not worry about it. I'm British. I get away with it. Sony have finally given us loads of gameplay footage of one of their only titles this year. After The Last of Us 2, you've got Ghost of Tsushima. And this is coming from Sucker Punch, the guys who did Infamous, which was a very, very competent open world game on PlayStation 4. And now they're taking the whole thing to Tsushima in Japan. And we're going for a samurai style game, or alternatively, if you want a little bit of change to the action, you can go for a more stealthy ninja-y style game. Graphically, the game looks gorgeous. The combat system looks interesting, but it's really hard to say anything about that until you go hands-on with it, as you can imagine. But it is a super, super promising looking game, and it has finally that feudal Japan aesthetic that a lot of people have been begging the Assassin's Creed series to do for so long. And it's finally delivering that to players.
Yeah, the last game I know that was Way of the Samurai.
Yeah. Like we haven't really seen much of that in the last couple of gens. Sekiro is kind of an outlier, and even then, the level design in Sekiro is designed for game mechanics. It's not designed to like actually evoke Japan, Like that's how the Souls games just.
It's not a proper open world game,
Absolutely, Yeah. So this is really, really attractive. It's going to hopefully strike all those like little marks of people who really want to have a game to explore things like The Witcher 3, things like Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting from it. As you can tell, I'm really excited. And before this presentation, did not care. I was going to say something else. I was going to say a swear, but I didn't. I didn't care. And this trailer has made it so much more attractive for me, not just because it looks beautiful, but some of the little details they've put into the world. For example, they've said you'll be standing on like a hillside and you'll be looking out at like the landscape and you'll see a tower of smoke in the distance or some other point of interest. And that is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
So you that can makes go me, where you oh. can see.
You had me up until there.
If you can see, you can go to it.
But, originally that is from Skyrim. But just... It came out 6 years before Breath of the
That's
Wild.
That's what I was going to say.
I feel like Skyrim, I only ever went somewhere in Skyrim if someone gave me a quest. And whereas in Zelda, I didn't even look at quests. I just played it,
I don't know, anyway, Dave, you got my interest in it.
Yeah, it looks really gorgeous, and I think it's going to be really interesting. I will say that I am a little bit tepid still. Quite frankly, and this is something a lot of other people that I talk to have stressed as well, I don't want it to be another open world game.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just another game where I'm walking around clearing bandit camps and like doing little kill monster quests and hunts. And I don't want the typical open world thing. I want it
to be unique. Do you think if they make it similar to, again, you mentioned Horizon Zero Dawn, that, again, that's an open world game that just had something to it. It was a different personality. Mm-hmm. If they made this similar to that.
Yeah, I feel like the setting is going to carry it for the most part.
Yeah.
And I've actually been watching my girlfriend play a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn lately. And I think aesthetically it looks really interesting. But then when you get into like talking to characters and side quests and stuff, everything gets a little bit bland. The facial animations some of the dialogue delivery isn't super amazing. And some
like
of the
Skyrim.
Yeah, and some of the reasons for quests aren't 100% compelling. It's not bad, but it's one of those things where after you've played the likes of The Witcher 3,
I think
The Witcher 3 might raise the bar.
And I'm hoping that this is going to...
To be fair, any game when compared to The Witcher 3 isn't... Yeah,
up
The Witcher...
Enough.
I gotta say, I just generally think if you were going to rate, objectively, if you're going to say the one game is better than any other game, The Witcher 3 just stands above. It's got, when side quests are better than the core stories of major releases.
Yeah. I mean, I personally have some problems with The Witcher 3, but I will agree that it does a lot right and a lot to raise the bar of like typical Western open world RPGs. And that's coming from a studio that was previously kind of known for Eurojank.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so The when Witcher you compare, 1 and 2.
Yeah. And when you compare that to these huge game studios that are sort of world famous and haven't really touched that mark yet, it seems kind of absurd. I'm hoping Tsushima will get there. And in the previous footage we've seen some really cinematic scenes, some gorgeous landscapes. Oh, and also there's a black and white monochrome mode, which just like it's basically Kurosawa mode. It's a Akira Kurosawa mode for you to be a samurai with all the cherry blossoms flowing in the wind and you slice people up.
The fact of the matter is you can bow, you can kill an enemy, you can bow at their corpse, and you can honor them for being a good foe. And also, the game's got in-game cosmetics which you don't have to pay for. You actually earn them by playing the game.
But can I commit seppuku?
Yeah,
possibly. But I think that's about it.
Yeah, you know, adding to that, to the thing that Dave said about the monochrome filter, you can also enhance your immersion even further by using the Japanese audio.
Yeah,
you know, with the English
titles.
Which
I definitely will.
So
what do you think then, Keith?
When's it coming to PC?
I don't think he has a PlayStation 4.
I don't.
3 years.
I don't, but this actually, I'm going to wait for this one to come out. And if it's as good as it is what I'm seeing, I may just pick up a base PS4. Look, I have spent more money just to play a single game. Okay. I don't care. Yeah, it doesn't bother me to buy a console to play one game, because if I get it to play that one game, I'm going to play other games too. So I'm not going to just relinquish myself to that one.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why my wife's actually, she took the VR. She's in the living room playing it. But I bought it to play Half-Life Alyx. And look, we'll talk about that one on a different time. But speaking of playing and stuff, on the wrap-up for today, since we're pretty much out of time, I do want to touch on the one last thing, and that's anticipated remasters, remakes, which we're going to go with remakes. They're calling them remasters, but these two games are very much a remake. So you've got the Mafia series. So that one is getting remade. It looks fantastic. And then you got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. Me personally, I'll give my take on which one of these am I most excited for, why, and then what game I wish they would remaster or remake. So first off, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 and 1 and 2 lost this one because they're garbage paid demo. I am not pre-ordering a game to get access to a demo. That is early access pre-play. I'm not that, no. That I'll go back in the living room and I'll play. I'll go back in the living room and play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 on my Dreamcast emulator and be happy. Mafia, never got a chance to play the series. That game looks fantastic. I'm going to indulge myself in that. And if I had to pick one game I wish they would remake, it's actually a series. I want Soul Reaver.
Oh, yeah. 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 See, for me, you've hit the spot with Mafia. Mafia 1, I remember playing that when it first came out. I still remember the ending, which, if you've not played Mafia 1, I'm not going to spoil it, but I just keep thinking of a Goodfellas-style game, and Mafia 1 is a great crime epic, and the fact that that's been remade, yeah, aces. And as for what game I want to be remade, well, they are making 2, but can I say Beyond Good and Evil?
That's fine.
If they eventually release number 2.
I'm good with that.
Alessio, do you want to do yours first?
Yeah, sure. Actually, for the series that could be remade, I think I can agree with Keith on Soul Reaver. You know, Legacy of Kain in general, it's an IP that's incredibly, you know, deep storied, you know, but it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Within Square Enix. And when it comes to these two, I think I'll have to pick Mafia as well, because as Chris said, the first Mafia game was really fantastic. And I think at the time it was, you know, above every other game in terms of storytelling, you know, at this time. So it's if you haven't played it, you know, the new game looks amazing, so the story will be great, just like in the original, so just consider it.
Dave?
Yeah, okay, for me, out of the two that are being remastered, I'm actually more of a Tony Hawk fan, but I'm going to pass this over to Mafia, because those remasters, I didn't actually like Mafia 3, but I've looked at some of the screenshots from Mafia 1 to remastered, and they look like a complete remake. It looks really impressive. So I'm going to go for those. Plus, I'd rather Tony Hawk's free. When it comes to a game I want remastered, I would have picked something along the lines of Xenoblade Chronicles coming out this month on the Switch. Or maybe the Wonderful 101 remastered came out last month. Or or maybe...
So how much did Nintendo pay you?
Wonderful 101 at Nintendo paid. Anymore. But I'm actually going to go with Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, because Paper Mario Origami King just got announced, and it looks okay, but there's only actually one really good Paper Mario game. That's The Thousand Year Door.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Paper Mario were great.
Wait, sorry, just one last thing, Keith.
Go for it.
Dave, what is that Metroid Easter egg at the end of the trailer
for
Paper Mario?
Oh. Don't look into it too much.
Is it coming or is it missing?
I think we could potentially see like a small teaser trailer or something this year, but I don't expect anything soon. I do think early next month, because usual E3 season, Nintendo are going to drop something larger than usual. Bayonetta trailer, Breath of the Wild trailer, Metroid teaser, but no idea. Obviously, I meant Breath of the Wild 2, you know.
Good times. Well, guys, it's been a great show. Thanks for hanging out. Thank you, audience, for coming along for the ride, and we will catch you in the next one.